Well, good morning. What a joy and privilege it is to be together in the Lord's house on this morning. I say, what a joy and privilege it is to be in the Lord's house on this morning. Amen, amen. Certainly grateful to be back with you again in our time of worship. Well, we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there, so let me breathe a word of prayer. Just thanking God again. Father, we are indeed grateful for your loving kindness and your tender mercies toward us. Thank you, dear God, for the privilege that is ours to be gathered in this place. May we not take our gathering for granted, but with attitudes of gratitude and hearts filled with praise, God, we worship you. For you have been good to us. You've watched over us and kept us, protected and provided for us, and it is you that have granted us the privilege to be found in this high holy place. So, Lord, speak to us now. As we turn our attention toward your word, will you challenge us? Will you convict us? But ultimately, God, our prayer is that you will change us. Continue to shape and form us that we might look more like Jesus. For it's in his name and for his glory we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Well, if you have your copy of God's word, will you join me in the Old Testament book of Jonah? It's a familiar passage of scripture for many of us, especially those church babies who've grown up in church and been around church for a while. You've probably heard this story, but I believe there's some new things that God can teach us from his word. Jonah chapter 3 is where we will commence our reading. I'll always invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Allow me to use as a tag for our gathering this morning the ministry of another chance. Have you ever messed up in life? Have you ever made a mistake? Made the wrong decision? Chose a choice, and you knew that the choice you chose was the wrong choice? The ministry of another chance. Notice I did not say the ministry of a second chance. Because if you're anything like me, and if you're honest, you must testify that I blew my second chance a long time ago. In fact, it is the reality that his grace keeps running after me. And he gives me another chance over and over and over and over again. Now, I understand if you've never made a mistake. I understand if you've been a perfect Christian all of your life. But for the rest of us who can understand and appreciate the ministry of another chance, that's really the story that we encounter on this morning when we meet this man, Jonah. There's some things that I believe that are contemporary in our understanding that will help us, because if you understand anything about Jonah had a clear call from God. Now, can I just suggest, I know I don't really know you, you really don't know me, but can I be so bold and suggest that we're more like Jonah than many of us like to admit? Because just like Jonah, there are many of us who are gathered here physically and even who have tuned in virtually who, like Jonah, have heard a clear call from God. In fact, if you look at Jonah chapter 1, don't close your Bible. It's really a wonderful story. Jonah chapter 1. Listen what your Bible says in the first verse. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Jonah had a clear call from God. Jonah knew exactly who was speaking to him. He knew exactly where God wanted him to go. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do. But in spite of having this clear call from God, Jonah does what many of us do. We decide we're going to do it on our own. Am I the only one here like Jonah? Because y'all looking at me like I'm all by myself. Jonah has a clear call, and I know you're asking a question, why doesn't Jonah want to go? Well, before I get there, let's continue to read. So in spite of having a clear call from God, listen to how Jonah responds to the clear call from God. Verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. In spite of having a clear call from God, Jonah decides he's going to disobey God. Just like us. There are some of us here who know exactly what God wants us to do and what he doesn't want us to do. But yet over and over again, we still decide we're going to disobey God. So Jonah knew where God wanted him to go, what God wanted him to do, but Jonah decides, I'm not going to do it. Now, you're asking a great question. Why won't Jonah go? Well, Nineveh is the capital city of the Assyrians. The Assyrians had oppressed the children of Israel and God's people for generations, and Jonah developed a hatred for them. He didn't like them, and they didn't like him. But in spite of his dislike for them, God loved them and called him to go and minister to them. But because he didn't like those people, he decided, I'm not going to minister to those people. Now, can I ask you a question? Do you have some those people in your life? Come on, you know those people. Those people who think differently than you. Those people who have different values, and you know those people. Those people that every time you think about them, it stirs up negative feelings in your heart. Come on now, y'all know those people. I got some of those people in my own family. But here's what God has been trying to teach me, and I believe it's a lesson that all of us need to learn, that no matter who those people are, we better remember God loves those people. And because God loves those people, we better learn how to love those people. Be careful. when you choose not to minister to those people, for whatever reason, for whatever bias or prejudice we have in our own heads and hearts that keeps us separated and identifying people as those people. I wish those people would go back to where they came from. Have you ever heard that kind of language? Why don't those people stop coming here? Why don't those people get their lives straight? Why don't those people come to church? You come on now, y'all know those people. So Jonah hated those people. And so Jonah decided that because I don't like those people, I'd rather disobey you than minister to them. My hatred for them is greater than my love for you. Because if my love for you was greater than my hatred for them, even though I don't particularly like them, I love you. And you called me, you told me to go. So in obedience to you, I'm going to walk in obedience and do what you've called me to do. I'm preaching better than y'all are responding. Because there are far too many of us who have put God in these little boxes. And what we don't realize is that whenever we make choices to disobey God, literally what we are saying to God in our action is, my dislike for this is greater than my love for you. And we must get to the place where our love for him supersedes anything and everything else. But Jonah decides, I don't like those people. In fact, I want those people to experience the full wrath of your anger. Because again, God has seen the wickedness of Nineveh. And God was on the verge of destroying Nineveh. But because he is a gracious and merciful God, he wanted to give Nineveh another chance. So he commissioned his prophet preacher to go and minister to them in hopes to save them. But Jonah didn't want those people to be saved. He wanted them to experience the full wrath of God's anger. Whenever you and I refuse to minister to those people, whoever those people are, we put them in jeopardy of one day experiencing the full wrath of God's anger. Because hell is the full wrath of God's anger. And whenever we fail to minister to them, then we rob them of the opportunity of hearing the message of the gospel that will transform their lives. So what Jonah discovers is that there are consequences to disobeying God. When you read throughout the chapter, by the way, we're going to walk through this whole book in just a few moments. I know you've never heard a preacher walk through a whole book in one sermon, but I'm going to do it. Jonah discovers that there are consequences to disobeying God. And when you read the rest of Jonah chapter 1, all the way down to the 16th verse, from verses 4 through 16, we began to see Jonah reaping the consequences of his disobeying God. He pays the fare, gets on his ship, and he's fleeing, seeking to flee the presence of the Lord. But the fourth verse says that God sends a strong wind. I'm in the first verse. first chapter. But the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken. And so from verses 4 through 16 of Jonah chapter 1, we see Jonah reaping the consequences of his disobedience. Are you going through some things in your life and you've been wondering why you're going through what you're going through? Could it be that you're going through what you're going through because of the disobedience of your own life? Could it be that you're experiencing, that we're experiencing what we're experiencing because of our disobedience? I know that's most of the time my problems. I blame everybody else. I blame other situations. But most of the time it boils down to the fact that I didn't do what God told me to do. And though y'all are looking at me in that strange kind of language, it's true of you too. It is true of individuals, it is true of families, it is true of churches, it is true of nations. Now, by the time we get to Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, after Jonah is experiencing the consequences of his disobedience, we find him after God has so tormented that ship that those men on the ship eventually, in the 16th verse or somewhere thereabout, they throw him overboard. And now your Bible says in the 17th verse that God created a great fish to swallow Jonah. Is that what your Bible says? I used to think that the fish was part of the punishment. But when you read it in its proper context, if God really wanted to kill Jonah, then God could have just allowed Jonah to drown. But God created a negative environment in order to get Jonah's attention. He tried to get his attention on dry land. He tried to get his attention even while he was on the ship. But now in the 17th verse, God creates another negative environment in order to get Jonah's attention. So for 3 days, 3 nights, Jonah is now in the belly of a fish at the bottom of the sea. Could it be? Listen, nobody likes negative environments. Nobody likes going through hardship and heartbreak. But can I suggest to us that sometimes negative environments are necessary? I don't know about you, but I pray harder when my back is up against the wall. I listen more diligently when I'm going through hardships and heartbreaks. Nobody likes negative environments. They're necessary because sometimes it's the negative environments that drive us to our knees, that drive us to the Word of God, to force us out of our lives of comfort and convenience, that stretches us and makes us step outside of our little boxes that we've created. Listen, my friends, negative environments are necessary to get our attention. So 3 days, 3 nights, your Bible says, I'm not making it up. If you read Jonah chapter 1, verse 17 on down, you see Jonah in the belly of a fish at the bottom of the sea. And throughout all of Jonah chapter 2, you see God dealing with Jonah in a negative environment. And by the time we get to Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, after God has dealt with Jonah, after Jonah discovers that God is serious and Jonah repents, then Jonah was released. Jonah was released after he repented. Y'all didn't get it. Let me try them over here. When he repented, then God released him. Now, I know it seems comical, but do you see the correlation between repentance and releasing? That many times we want God to release us, but what we need to discover is that when we repent, then God will release us. Because in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, your Bible says that after Jonah cries out to the Lord, repents, and discovers and decides that he's going to obey God, the 10th verse says, so the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Listen, if you want to be released from what you're going through, maybe we ought to repent from what got us into the situation in the first place. Because there is a correlation between release and repentance. And we're always asking God, God, get me out. But I think a more mature prayer might be, God, what are you trying to teach me through what I'm going through? And so now, we arrive in Jonah chapter 3, our text this morning. In your Bible there says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God gave Jonah another chance. God, I wish y'all were excited about another chance as I am. That's why it's so important when you gather in God's house, we ought to gather with an attitude of gratitude because God gave us another chance. Another chance to worship him. Another chance to fill our lungs with his air. Another chance to fellowship one with another. Another chance to get right what we got wrong before. And Jonah chapter 3 verse 1 declares that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Preach to it the message that I tell you. And then your Bible says, and Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Is that what your Bible says? You ask another great question. What's the difference? Jonah chapter 3 verse 1 is the same command that Jonah received in Jonah chapter 1 verse 1. In Jonah chapter 1 verse 1, God said to him, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, preach to it the message that I tell you. But in Jonah chapter 1, Jonah flees to Tarshish in disobedience to the calling of God. So you ask a great question on a Sunday morning. What's the difference between Jonah chapter 1 and Jonah chapter 3. The only difference between Jonah chapter 3 and Jonah chapter 1 was Jonah chapter 2. It seems comical, but there was something about what God did in Jonah chapter 2 that when he heard the same command in Jonah chapter 3 that he heard in Jonah chapter 1, his response was different in 3 than it was in 1. And the only difference between the two commands was this negative environment. Because sometimes negative environments are necessary to get our attention. Maybe it might make more sense to you if I made it a little personal. It was something about when my mother said, "You wait till your daddy get home." You're disobeying me. You want to live life on your own terms. You wait till your daddy get home. And it was something about that encounter with daddy that changed my disposition and my attitude. Because though negative environments are painful and uncomfortable, most of the time they are necessary. And not only are they necessary, most of the time they come about because of our own disobedience. So the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Preach to it the message that I tell you. And Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. God. Let me hurry too. Now, Jonah's worst fear has happened. Because in Jonah chapter 3 verse 5... your Bible says, and the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least. So the people heard the word, believed the word, repented of their sins, and began to fast in obedience to the commands of God. Remember, that's not what Jonah wanted. Remember, Jonah wanted them to experience the full wrath of God's judgment. And so what Jonah discovers, not only after he proclaims the word of God, that the people believed, but the sixth verse says that the king also believed. I'm really not making it up. If your Bible was open, you'd say he's telling the truth. The word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. He began to pass laws and legislations. He began to declare and decree the word of the Lord that everybody, both man and beast, would now fast in obedience to this God. And what Jonah discovers is the equation for transformation. Here it is. When the people of God take serious the commands of God, walk in obedience to God, engage people who are far from God, proclaim the word of God, then those people might turn to God. You've been wondering how you're going to transform your city and transform our state and transform our nation. There's the equation. When the people of God take serious the commands of God, walk in obedience to God, engage people who are far from God, proclaim the message of God, then those people might turn to God. People believed. The king believed, began to pass laws and legislations. 10th verse of Jonah chapter 3 says that when God saw that the people relented, or when the people saw that the people repented, and that the people were turning from their evil ways, he saw their works, that they had turned from their evil ways. I'm in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. Your Bible says, and God relented from the disaster that he had said that he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Now, there are some who would say God changed his mind. No, God didn't change his mind. In essence, really what God did is he held back from them what they rightfully deserved. They deserved the full wrath of his judgment, just like us. They deserved eternal damnation, just like us. But God, through his love and mercy, I know y'all don't get excited about that, poured out on himself the judgment of our iniquities. He took what was mine and gave me what was his. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. If we want to begin to see transformation, it's going to only be when the people of God take serious the commands of God, walk in obedience to God, engage people who are far from God, proclaim with them to them the message of God. Then and only then might those people turn to God. I've got to get out of your way. But Jonah is known more for his disobedience than he is. Scroll through those. Jonah is known more for his disobedience than the significance of his ministry. Now, give me a second. I grew up hearing the story of Jonah. And here's what I always heard about Jonah. Here is a man who heard from God. Here's a man who disobeyed God. Here's a man who got on a ship, fleeing the presence of the Lord, reaping the consequences, who was thrown overboard, swallowed by a fish, and stayed in the belly of the fish for 3 days, 3 nights. That's what I've always known about Jonah. But what I've never heard about Jonah is that when he went to Nineveh in Jonah chapter 3 and proclaimed the message that God gave to him, that for the first time in Scripture we see a nationwide revival. Nineveh was spared the wrath of God's judgment because Jonah went and preached. Now, we never talk about a nationwide revival with Jonah, do we? All we ever talk about is here is a man who heard from God. Here is a man who disobeyed God. Here is a man got on his ship, fleeing from God, thrown overboard, swallowed by a fish, 3 days, 3 nights. That's what we always hear. And so you ask another final question as I'm on my way to my seat. Why don't we ever hear of Jonah's ministry? Because when you continue to read throughout Jonah chapter 4, Jonah is now angry with God because God had the audacity to be merciful to those people. We're more like Jonah than we like to admit. Because there are far too many of us who have been recipients of God's grace and mercy, and then be angry that God would hold back his wrath for those people, without recognizing that the same grace and mercy that God extended to them was the same grace and mercy that God had extended to him. Because at the moment Jonah said no to God, God could have wiped them out because of his disobedience. And sometimes we receive God's grace and mercy, but we don't extend God's grace and mercy. And so you may be asking, okay, then what did God want from Jonah? Because what God wanted from Jonah is exactly what he wants from you and I. All God wanted from Jonah was his yes. That's all God wanted from Jonah. That's all God wants from us. He wants our yes. Our unconditional yes. Our yes that's like a blank check. We sign the bottom of the check and we say, God, here's the check. It's blank. You fill in the blanks. God wants your yes, your unconditional yes, your yes that says, God, I'll go wherever you tell me to go, whenever you tell me, to whomever, no matter how uncomfortable it makes me. God, even if I don't particularly like those people, I love you more than I dislike them. And I recognize that you love those people and you want to use me to extend your love to those people. So we used to sing a song. Little church that I grew up in, and it's the words that I'll leave you with on this morning. The words of the song were simply this: I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Does God have your yes? If you're here this morning and if you never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, as the ministry team moves into place, if you need to make a decision to trust Christ alone for your salvation, then the best decision you can simply say this morning is yes. Maybe you're tuned in virtually and you know that what you most need to do today is to simply say yes to the Lord. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord in partial obedience, but God doesn't have your unconditional yes. And as they sing, the altar is available. Maybe you're here this morning. You need to do business with God. Maybe you've been looking down your nose in judgment of those people. Maybe you've refused to be loving and merciful and gracious to those people. And maybe on this morning, God is saying to you, you've got some Jonah-like characteristics that you need to repent of. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be a great fish. Maybe God can get your attention on this morning, and maybe like Jonah, who was at the bottom of the sea in the belly of a fish, cried out to the Lord in repentance, then the altar is available. If you're here and you need to do business with God, then we invite you to do that. But as they sing, we stand and sing together. Let me voice a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Challenge us, change us. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.